We are in church, I know, but we are going to have some fun. I want to think about the Jesus adventure this morning. Let's start off by reading a bit from the Bible together out loud. Are we ready? As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. And they were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. And they were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. When they set out on that big adventure, did they say, hang on a minute, I want to go away and think about this for a bit? Did they say that? No, they didn't. Did they say, hang on, Jesus, I want to go back and pack my stuff? Did they say that? No. Did they know what they were taking out on when they started walking that road with Jesus? No. No. That's, my friends, it's what it's like when you start the new adventure, a new life with Jesus. Jesus said it's like being born again. It's like a new beginning, a new birth, a new start. No matter what age you are, no matter how old or how young, Jesus said you must start that adventure. You must be born again. I want to unpack a little bit about what it means. And I have a great aid with me. It's my it's a box of chocolates, which I hope that I'm going to empty by the end of this morning. Is that okay with you guys? I clearly should have bought a lot more boxes, but hey, it's going to be first come, first serve. Right, okay, we are going on an adventure. So are we ready? Going on the Jesus adventure. Did the disciples ever get scared? They did. They were so scared they ran away. Yes? And if you think, when you invite Jesus Christ into your life, when you choose to follow him on the biggest adventure ever, if you think it's going to be a nice sunny walk, Jesus said, think again. You need to realize what you're taking on. Count the cost. Be ready for times where you can't go over it. You can't go under it. With Jesus Christ, you're going to have to, what? Go through it. Think about that. Okay, I need some volunteers for our quiz. I need a boy and a girl. Boys and girls, that's all right, isn't it? Yeah, boys against girls? Yeah, because the boys are the best, aren't they? Is that right, boys? No? Oh, I always thought the boys are the best. Right, any boy volunteer, and I need a girl volunteer just to help me pack for an adventure. Is that all right? A boy and a girl. Right, here we are. Grab a sweet, first of all, because you're going to need that. Right, stick it in your pocket and say for the end. Can I have a girl? Any girl, please? So what stuff do you need? If they get an answer right, the boys get an answer right, grab a thing, put it in your case, because we've got your climbing rope, and we've got your map and your torch and all this stuff in, and go out. If a girl should get an answer right, you know, which I know is a slim thing. I think I better shut up here. I'm not going to get alive, am I? Right, okay. So we have got some questions then here. What do you need to survive, right? Here's the quiz. What do you need to survive? So, first question, ladies first. Girls' question then, this is the girls' question. What is the number one thing you need to survive in the wilderness? Is it Is it water, food, shelter, or heat? What? What is it? Water. You think it's water? Let's see if it's water. She's right. Great. Next question. Next question is, if you are the only survivor of a plane crash and you are trapped on an island, what should you do? Search the island for food, build her up on the fallen logs, get away from the scene as fast as possible, take any survival and medical equipment you can find from the site. 1, 2, 3, 4, 4 boys' question at the very back.
What? I think you should take any survival medical training.
What, number four?
Number four is five. Right, next question. Grabs up and fillers. Even Stevens, girls' question. Water sources, the cleanest. River Spring, Fondle Lane. Girls' question. River Spring, Fondle Lane. Can't find fresh water in the wild. All of these, collect, drink, salt water, morning dew, rain water. Which should you never do?
Come on.
Boys.
We need an answer.
Never do. Mess up. What should you never drink? Salt water, is that what you're saying? Right, okay. Everybody needs salt water. Right. He was about to say something else, but I'm glad he didn't, because the boys have got that one right. Okay. Girls, next question. Right, how do you purify an unclean water source? Use your clothing. Boil it, all of these, leave it in the sun. How do you purify unclean water? Oh, this is a girl's question. I think some girls, if they know the answer, will be looking at this. You shouldn't do all of them. All right, can you speak? It's boiling. Sorry, how do you purify? It's boiling. I'm afraid the girls didn't get that one right. I'm so sorry about that. I am really, really upset. Boys! In general, where does the sun rise and set? In general, so this is always the case. West to east, south to north, north to south, east to west. Which is it? At the very back here. All the knowledge clearly at the back. Which item should you include in your survival kits? This is a boys' question. Waterproof and windproof matches, bottle of fresh water, first aid kit, and all of these. Which, boys, is the right answer?
First aid, survival kit, boys, you two guys.
How long should you be prepared to survive on your own? 3 days, 2 weeks, 1 month, 1 week. How long should you be prepared in your head to survive on your own? That's an interesting question, isn't it? Right, this is the girl's question. What is the right answer? You can choose one.
Two weeks.
universal signal for distress is? And this is a boy's question. Boys' question. It's got to be one of them. Signal for distress. Anyone want to make a guess? Come on. You reckon it's three? And it is in fact three.
Thank
you. Whoa. So, Jesus scooped together his disciples and he sent 72 of them on the road up ahead. He said, look, I'm going to these villages, I'm on my way, so I want you to get the people ready for when I come, okay? So he sent them out in pairs and he said, you go on ahead of me and get people ready. He says to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field. And then he says to them, this is how I want you to pack. Saw that big bag we packed in the quiz? How did Jesus tell them to pack? He says, I don't want you to take any money. You're not going to need that. I don't want you to take a spare coat or a spare bag. You're not going to need that. I don't want you to take a spare pair of shoes. I want you to travel light. Why? Because this is urgent. This is important. I want you to hang around and gossip on the road. Don't get distracted, right? This is the most important thing. And you know what? The most important thing should always remain the most important thing. Is that true? And so they went out and they did what Jesus said. And when they got back, they were so excited. It was just like you said, Jesus. We saw such amazing things. We did such amazing things. Even the demons ran from us. Jesus, it was the most amazing adventure. But I want to ask you, why did Jesus want them to go like that on their very first trip serving him, these 72 disciples? Well, I'm a counties evangelist. My wife and I have been counties evangelists in Somerset for nearly 30 years now. But we had a predecessor, a good man called David Wilcox. And he was counties evangelist before us. And you know, David's starting story is worth thinking about. David used to be a cobbler before he became an evangelist, right? He used to fix shoes and he had a cobbler's shop. Now, a counties evangelist isn't paid a wage. You're to live by faith. It means you do the job, you don't give anybody bills, you know. The unsaved don't pay for you to tell them about, do they, Jesus? Not usually. So David thought, right, this is going to be a new step for me. So I'll sell my cobbler's business and I'll have a bit of money in the bank and that should, you know, help me get a start on, yeah? And so God had a plan. Just when David was going to start as a counties evangelist, his shop burnt down and he lost everything. And so he started living by faith with nothing. And do you know what? I think Jesus was saying to David, right, now you've got everything you need, which is me. Do you believe that? Do you live like that? Because the Bible says, if you're a Christian, you're to live like that, by faith. Wow. Doesn't that change everything? It does. And I have to tell you, funny thing, after 30-odd years, do you know it works? It really does. It's true. Whoa. Right, Dunk, what we got today then? We've had a busy week, Dunk and me. We've been in a lot of schools this week. Right. Are we all right? Come on then, Dunk. Out you come. You okay? Yeah, I'm cool. I'm cool. Mike? What? Are we going to McDonald's tonight? No, Dunk, we're not going to McDonald's. We've been eating too much junk food. Aww. What's the matter with McDonald's? Well, it's all right for an occasional, you know, now and again, right? But not every week. It's junk food. It's not good for you to have too much. What's the matter? It's all right. No, it's not. They put a lettuce in the burger. Dunk, that doesn't magic it into not being junk food just because you put... Anyway, Dunk, what? You pick the lettuce out, don't you?
I do not. Yes, I do. Yes, you do, don't you? Yes. Anyway, Mike, you pick the gherkin out of your burger. Yeah, well, gherkin's not good for you, Dunk. And, you know, I don't like it, sorry. Anyway, you pick the gherkin out of your burger. Well, that's because it tastes disgusting. Well, there we are then. Mike, what? Why do they put gherkins in burgers? Dunk, I don't know. You have to live with mystery in life, all right? There are mysteries, you know. Gherkins and burgers is one of them. I think no one knows, really. Oh. But no more junk food. We're going to change the way we eat, all right? In fact, we're going to make some healthy changes in our family, aren't we? I don't like the sound of that. Well, you better get used to it. No more junk food. We go to the chip shop, then. No! We're not going to the chip shop tonight. We're going to... Look, I'm cooking a stew for tea tonight.
A stew?
Yeah, a winter vegetable stew. Do you understand this? It's got parsnips, it's got sweet, it's got leeks, it's got onion, potato, carrots. It's going to taste fantastic. Cooking all day in the slow cooker is going to melt in your mouth.
I don't like it.
Done. Oh. You've not tried it. How do you know you don't like it? Sure I won't. Look, Dad, if you're going to make changes, you've got to try new things. Right? You've got to try new things. Hey, message for any church. I've got to try new things. Ready?
I've got to try new things.
Right. We got that. I'm going to put some steak in it. You'll like it.
I'm not sure I will.
Can I pick out the bits I don't like? No! And there's another thing. What? We need to get out more.
What do you mean?
We need to get more walkies up on the hills.
Walkies?
I don't need walkies. Yes, you do need walkies. You're spending your time slobbing in your bedroom.
Slobbing? I don't slob.
Yes, you do. You're slobbing in your bedroom all day.
I do not slob.
Well, what do you call it then? I'll have you know.
What?
I am working on developing my IT skills. I know what that means. What? Playing on your computer all day.
I'm working hard. You're lazy. What are you working on? I'm on a high level.
The only thing high about you is you're highly lazy. We are going to get out for a walkie straight after this service.
No!
Yes. Can't you go without me?
No. We're going to make some changes round here. Go on. Oh, go on. Did he want to make some changes? Of course, we all love change, don't we? Truth is, if you're going to go on that Jesus adventure, we're going to have to make big changes. Are you ready for some big changes? I wonder, what will we learn? See, I learned something quite a few years ago. I was looking after a church youth group, and we got together with another church youth group, and we were up on the Quantock Hills, and we had this fantastic great wide game. And at the end of it, the guy that was leading the other youth group got out a frying pan, and he got out some sausages, right? And he said, right, go and get some wood, go and get some bits of grass, go and get some stuff. And he put it together for a fire, but he hadn't got any matches. And I heard of it. I didn't believe it was possible. And he got two sticks that he just grabbed, and he starts the fire. Can anyone here do that? Well, I tell you, if I was on that desert island, I'd want Bob with me, you know? He'd be really, he'd go, psh, woof, and the fire lit, and he was cooking sausages in no time at all. I was absolutely, I learned something that day. Not how to do it, but that it was possible. Do you know, all kinds of things are possible. I wonder what we will learn. See, James and John, two of Jesus' disciples, they were going down the road with Jesus and the other disciples, I think, were following up. And they say to Jesus, Jesus, will you promise us something, whatever we ask? I mean, who would say yes to that? Come on. So Jesus says, what? And they say, will you promise that when you get to heaven, we can sit on seats either side of you? You know, the seats of honour on your right and your left in heaven. And Jesus says, you don't know what you're asking. That's not for me to give you. And then the other disciples heard about it and they were furious. I was like, James and John, they are not the most important disciples. Can you imagine Peter saying, I ought to be there on the right hand? You know, and they start having this big argument. I mean, these are Jesus' disciples, right? There is hope for all of us. And they're having this big argument about who's the most important disciple. And Jesus says, listen, whoever wants to be greatest among you has got to be the greatest servant. Because it's not like in the world. My disciples, I don't want you to lord it over each other. My greatest disciple is going to be the greatest servant. I went to a funeral about a week ago of a really great servant of Jesus Christ, one of the finest Christians I have ever known. He died at a ripe old age, I'm glad to say. And it was a great funeral service. And yet they talked about the times when he was an elder at Wellsprings Chapel, when I am, used to clean the toilets. He was the most popular preacher. If you had a problem, you would want Ivor around. I had cried on his shoulder more times than I can count, you know? And yet he would also clean the toilets. He was a great servant. One of the greatest. Huh. And what do we know about Jesus? That Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, what? When the disciples were all sitting down for the meal, he grabbed a bowl of water and he put a towel around his waist and he washed their feet. And that was the job of the servant. The least servant would wash the dirty feet of the guests at a meal. And Jesus did the job of the least servant. And then he turns to his disciples, who were shocked, by the way, and he said, I wanted you to be like me. You see me do this? I want you to be like me. Because it's not like the people of this world being a disciple of Jesus Christ. It really isn't like that. Who's God going to honour in glory? Who's going to be at the front of the queue? Hey? That's an interesting question. Whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant. So, what will we do? So, there was this big crowd, 5,000 people, and Jesus had been teaching them all day, middle of nowhere. And it's getting late and people are getting hungry. And so Jesus' disciples come to him and say, Jesus, it's getting late. And we're in the middle of nowhere and they're all hungry. So send the crowds away so they can try and buy something to eat. And Jesus says, you don't need to send them away. You give them something to eat. And they all start to panic. 5,000 people. Where are we going to get the money to feed 5,000 shops? And they're running around panicking. Of course, you've never done that, have you? They're panicking. It's impossible. We can't do it. Jesus says, sit them down. What food have we got? And he feeds them with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. But hey, here's the thing, guys. You feed them. They thought it was impossible. You feed them. Why did Jesus say that? Because if you are walking this Jesus adventure, right, sometimes Jesus will ask you to do what you can do. Sometimes Jesus will ask you to do what you can't do. I wonder what that might look like. I wonder, as a church, as an individual, what might that look like? And can I tell you something really, really beautiful? Jesus said, the Bible passage says that Jesus did this because he had compassion on them. I was busy shopping in the middle of Taunton one day, and I was running to the shops, you know, hurry, 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 yeah? And I walked the end of Magdalen Street, which is like a footpath, and there was a beggar sitting there on his blanket. And as I was hurrying to do my shopping, I saw a man and a woman walk up to the beggar and smile, and they had something in their hands. And it was a thermos flask or something. And they chat to the beggar. And they pour him, I guess, a thick soup, I'm guessing. And then they gave it to the beggar. And they sat down beside him, either side on his blanket, and talked with him as he ate. And I thought, that is one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen in my life. Isn't that like Jesus? He sits down beside us in our poverty. I wonder what this says to us about the kind of adventure that we are on. I'm about to have a last prayer and a last song. But I want to ask you this. If you've never set out on that journey, if you don't know what I'm talking about when I'm talking about being born again, it's just a prayer that you mean, right? And if you would like to know what I'm talking about for yourself, come and see me at the end and we'll talk. And if you want to, we'll pray that prayer. And you can start the Jesus adventure for yourself. My daughter-in-law said a most wonderful thing to me yesterday. She said, Layla's become a Christian. My second oldest granddaughter is 4, has just become a Christian. Lovely, isn't it? And when you have to run around with the kids after the most, in the service in the middle, that is the most important thing you do. Isn't it? That is the most important. We can, you know, it is. Because God's got his priorities. Can I ask for your prayer before I wind up? Because I got a really important meeting on Thursday that could have big consequences if it doesn't go well. I've sent an email. If you've had the email, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't, you might like to share that. Remember me on Thursday afternoon. Thank you. We're going to pray. Father God, I want to thank you that you love us all more than we can begin to imagine. And you have compassion on everyone who walks this earth. Help us to choose to walk this journey of life with the Lord Jesus Christ on his great adventure, the greatest adventure of all. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
I want to tell you that the Lord has spoken to me in a powerful way this morning. The Lord is here. And there are people here who've never, ever believed in Jesus. And this is your moment. The Lord wants to save you and forgive you and heal you and give you eternal life. Come to Jesus. He's the only one who can deal with the issues and the problems and the anxieties in your heart right now. Come to Jesus. His love is amazing. His compassion unbounding. I've known the Lord a long time. And today is special. And it can be even more special for somebody here. Reach out to Jesus now, and he will save you.